He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Curry, way downtown, bang, bang!
You don't like NBA basketball!
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of GMO. This time it's on the road, and my name is Liam Ellison. And of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Jared Gunn. Jared, how are you this evening?
Going good, Liam, and a little bit different today. We're on the other side of the state, Liam. Actually, not states, you're over the state line.
Across the border here in New South Wales, we aren't sitting across face-to-face like we normally do, so GMO over the phone today. But yeah, I'm in Sydney at the moment, Jared. Just gone on a little bit of a road trip with my partner, and yeah, it's been good. We'll be away for the next couple of weeks.
Did you bake in the nice weather today up in Sydney?
Well, it's not as hot actually up in Sydney, but we're in Wagga Wagga, which is about halfway between Melbourne and Sydney, and it was very hot there, Jared, about 35, I think, as it was down south in Melbourne. So, look, we've already had our issues actually on the road. We've had a rock flick up and break our windscreen, so we had to get that replaced. So it's all been happening so far on our trip.
Very full on for you, Liam, and it's been very full on in the NBA too.
Absolutely, it has been. I mean, something else that's broken in the last couple of days, Stephen Curry's left hand, unfortunately. So not good news at all for Golden State, hey?
Well, this is a really interesting one, Liam, because this could go either way for Golden State. Do they tank, Liam? Do they finish up and just worry about developing the youth and getting a good pick next year?
It looks likely to me. I mean, they're going to be really, really thin. We spoke about it last episode, but I mean, without Steph, geez, they'll just... And if Kevin Looney's injury as well, if that's an extended absence, they're going to be one of the... probably the bottom five teams in the league, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is literally the worst-case scenario for Golden State. We know how bad their depth is, and this just rolls into fantasy land because you look at the depth options they've got on their bench to fill these roles, and it's really dire. We spoke about this the other day on our last episode, Liam, and some of these guys, we don't even know who they really are.
Yeah, there's a lot to get through in terms of Golden State's rotation. First off, with Steph, do you think he's going to miss the whole season? It's at the moment, at the time of recording the podcast anyway, we're still awaiting the timetable for return. How do you see that one playing out?
It's too hard to tell right now, Liam, but it looks like there's going to be definitely an extended period off. And what's the point now? If he misses maybe 20 to 30 games, and we know Golden State are in the West, it's going to be a really hard run. Their record's not going to be that great, so why bring him back? And then also, why bring Klay Thompson back if you guys are struggling as a team as well? So, look, the only positive I can see out of this situation, Liam, is that D'Angelo Russell's probably going to get a bit of an uptick in his production, which will be good for fantasy. But other than that, it's not great at all.
Yeah, I think if anything, the... you know, one positive we can take out of this injury from a fantasy perspective is D'Angelo Russell's, you know, potential increase in production. I think I wouldn't go out there, you know, necessarily targeting him in a trade or anything like that. But for those owners who are possibly a little bit worried about his early season struggles, I think this is probably a little bit of icing on the cake that, you know, he should from here have a really big role in the second half of the season, or the rest of the season, rather.
Look, Liam, with D'Angelo, his offensive production's been a bit up and down, but he's still putting up some good assist numbers. Once he gets that shooting going a little bit more consistently, I think he's going to be really solid for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and I think D'Angelo Russell will be a nice pick for the rest of the year as well. Some more news out of Golden State. Negative news, unfortunately, for them. Kevon Looney, of course, we had the hamstring injury news a couple of days ago. His absence has been extended to the next four games, and Jacob Evans as well is out for the next three. Now, to me, that reads more as out indefinitely. I think this could be one of those injuries, Jared, where it just keeps extending and extending until we get a sort of idea of how long it'll be for that hamstring injury to recover.
Yeah, exactly, Liam. And look, it's the only position that Golden State actually do have some decent depth in. Willie Cauley-Stein made his season debut yesterday, and they've also got Amari Spellman and Marquese Chris that can play that 4 or 5 role. So there's guys in that lineup that can come in, get a stack of rebounds, which will be good for, you know, for the ESPN points leagues. Maybe not as much in the Yahoo leagues because it's not weighted as heavily, but still there's some solid points that you can grab there.
Yeah, I think for Kevin Looney, unless you're in a really deep league or obviously a dynasty league, I'd be dropping Kevin Looney. I mean, look, if he is only out for the next four games, you'd keep him, but I'm just very skeptical that it'll only be those four. It seems like, I mean, they've described it as a neuropathic injury related to that hamstring, so I expect it will be a while. Let's talk about some of the Golden State guys we think could pick up the slack here with so many injuries, because, you know, especially in deep leagues, there's going to be some guys who are going to provide value. Who have you sort of thought here that could be one of the players to, you know, have an uptick from this injury, Jared?
Well, I think the one that could probably step in the best would be Alec Burks. He's got a few years of NBA experience under his belt, and there's also guys like Jordan Poole and Glenn Robinson, but they're still young players in the league. Jordan Poole's shot the ball at a pretty bad tick so far, and he's still getting used to the league as a rookie.
Yeah, I think Jordan Poole would be a very speculative pick at this point, probably still behind Burks, as you said, who is a good option. The other guy is probably Damian Lee, we should mention. I mean, been a pretty good source of threes so far, but yeah, I'm not too convinced on him as well. I think Alec Burks, I agree, is the strongest option. To me, he sort of seems like more of a points league guy, not really particularly strong in any one category, but will have enough usage to make himself valuable in probably, you know, 14 team leagues and above. Eric Paschal as well, probably another points leaguer for mine. What's your take on him?
Yeah, Liam, he's another one that could fill the void in. But there's someone else I just want to jump to quickly on the Golden State roster.
Mm.
Do you think Draymond Green could come in and fill that playmaking role that Steph Curry does have? I know that Draymond already does have a massive role in offense when it comes to playmaking, but do you think that could increase?
It's a good point. I think someone's going to have to do it, clearly. D'Angelo Russell will be one of those players. And yeah, I think, you know, clearly Draymond Green, now you would expect, will definitely average over 10 points a game. It's been below that for a few years now, but his role should drastically change, and I wouldn't be totally surprised if we saw something like 12, 8, and 8 out of him for the rest of the year.
Jeez, it's a little bit yuck when you got Draymond as your second offensive star, Liam.
Yeah, definitely. I think, look, it's an interesting one with Golden State, isn't it? We got, you know, players like Steph and Draymond, and they've obviously struggled this season, and you see those sort of overreactions as calling them system players, which I think is a bit too far to say the least. But what they are is, you know, players with elite skills in certain places, not overall. You know, obviously Steph's an amazing offensive player. Draymond's a really good defensive player, but they're not quite the guys who could completely take a bunch of G League sort of level players and take them to the playoffs necessarily.
No, definitely not. Maybe last year or the year before, Liam, where their depth was a lot stronger. They had Iggy off the bench, Sean Livingston, guys that were really experienced veterans in the league, but it's just the complete opposite right now for Golden State.
Yeah, so Willie Cauley-Stein to surround at this Golden State roster. Do you like him coming back into this team as well?
Yeah, I do like Cauley-Stein. He should get the start very soon, Liam. And to me, he's just going to be a really solid solid source of rebounds. And if he can put up a double-double or close to a double-double, I think that's a pretty successful get if you've got him in your fantasy leagues.
Yeah, and I think Amari Spellman, keep an eye on him, as with Marquise Chris as well. Both bigs can give you some rebounds, maybe a good points league guy. Just definitely deep league options, though, I'd say. Let's talk about the other big news of the couple of days. It's been all over social media. The big fight, the rumble in the jungle in Philadelphia. Jared, Joel Embiid and Karl Anthony Towns. Ugly scenes, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty ugly. Look, it wasn't as bad as some other fights that we've seen in the history of the NBA, Liam. There was a little bit of a scuffle, a couple headlocks going on. So it was an interesting one, but look, at the same time, I don't mind seeing a little bit of this in the NBA. It is entertaining to watch.
It was a bit of fun, wasn't it? Both players now suspended for two games each as a result. Ben Simmons scrapes away without any punishment as he was deemed a peacemaker. So that's fantastic for owners of Simmons. So clearly, you know, Embiid and Cat owners will be a little bit disgruntled with missing their probably best player for the next couple of games. But nothing you can do about that. What is fantasy relevant, though, Jared, are the guys who could potentially have higher roles just in the next couple of games while they're out? They could be good streaming options.
Yeah, if we look at Minnesota's point of view, Noah Vonleh could play a bit of a role where he can come in and start at the 4 or 5. And he did that at New York last year with a little bit of a success, averaging the 9 points and 8 rebounds in that stretch where he did start. However, they've only got one more game for the rest of the week, Minnesota, so it's not too much of a concern. At the same time, there's probably better players to stream.
Yeah, I think Vonley, obviously, as you said, great source of rebounds. Maybe you bring him in if you're really strapped there for players to bring in. From the Philly perspective, in absence of Embiid, probably Matisse Thybulle is the guy who actually will benefit from this the most, as we'll see Horford slide over to the 5 spot and Tobias Harris play the 4. Embiid actually missed a couple of games ago when they rested him, and that's how they played the lineup. So fantastic for owners of Matisse Thybulle. And if he is on your waiver wire and you are targeting steals and blocks, I'd very much look at getting him in, because not only is he now a great streaming option, he's probably a season-long guy in a lot of leagues as well.
Yeah, exactly. And his role will just increase all season long. He's always going to have a solid block of minutes this season, Matisse Thybulle. And like we've said before, the steals and blocks are so massive in the Yahoo leagues. It's incredible. It could add you up to 20 points per game if Matisse Thybulle's getting three steals and a block or two at the same time. It's a massive advantage. But also looking at Mike Scott, Mike Scott had a pretty big role in that game that Embiid didn't play. He scored the 17 points off the bench. So there are guys that will step in for the offensive production, but Matisse Thybulle on the defensive side is going to be massive.
Yeah, I think in terms of categories as well, when playing Matisse Thybulle, he really does suit a punt points build and probably even a punt field goal percentage, although his volume of shots won't affect it too much. But look, if you're in a reasonably shallow league, you know, 10 teams or below, he's going to really hurt your points because he only puts up 5 a game. So a punt point strategy when you're targeting steals and blocks, he'd be absolutely perfect there, I'd say. Let's move on now to Trae Young, Jared, who suffered a left ankle injury. So there is optimism, according to Woj, that he will be back next week, which is fantastic news because, look, I mean, so far this year, he had been essentially a top 5 guy in fantasy.
Yeah, and the Atlanta supporters were extremely worried when this happened. Their young superstar trying to lead them to a playoff spot this season, Liam. And yeah, it looks like it's going to be okay, which is good. And Trae Young, he's working his way up to being a first-round fantasy talent, Liam.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, he could very much get there this year. He's been unbelievable. I think they are a real chance to make the playoffs in the East, although this little weak stretch out will hurt them just a tad. I think first round is absolutely potentially on the cards this season. Second round's almost the floor the way he started the year. But look, you know, obviously owners will be holding on to Trae Young. 1 week is nothing to worry about. What we can talk about is Kevin Huerter entered the starting lineup and should continue to do so over the next week, but it didn't do too much in the first game where Trae Young was out, did he?
No, he didn't really at all, Liam. Only scored the 5 points today. And look, if Kevin Huerter is going to have some fantasy value, Liam, it's got to be if he's hitting 3-pointers and more suits to the categories format, Liam. And I think Huerter's going to enter the starting lineup sooner rather than later, probably replace Cam Reddish. But it's lucky that we don't really have to worry about Trae Young for too long, because it looks pretty dire for Atlanta if Trae Young is out.
Yeah, well, just to get sidetracked for a minute, is it just me, or has there been a lot of injuries so far through the first week or so, or first 2 weeks of the season?
Yeah, there has been, Liam. I'm trying to think who else, though, on the top of my head. There has been plenty of news of players being out. Who else comes to the top of your head?
Well, we've got Blake and Bagley have all gone out. Of course, Zach Collins as well. I mean, look, maybe it's just because I've drafted a lot of these guys, so it feels like it's happened more often, but it just seems to be happening all the time.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we've really suffered in our dynasty leagues. We spoke about that the other day, and that's probably why it feels a little bit heavier to us than other owners.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about Michael Porter Jr., who today made his NBA debut against the New Orleans Pelicans. He did well, Jared, in 21 minutes, 15 points on 5 of 8 shooting. Didn't do a lot else other than the scoring. Had 4 rebounds as well. I mean, look, it was what stood out to me from this game is that Denver had a 13-man rotation in that loss to the Pelicans.
Yeah, something that I noticed too the other day, Liam, was Denver's rotation was quite large. They were playing a lot of players And it seems to work for them because they're pretty deep, Liam. I'd say they're the second deepest team behind the Clippers at the moment. But Michael Porter, he did get the start. He didn't get the start today, but he played today. I think Will Barton was out. That's why he got a role in the rotation. And he continued off from where he did in the preseason, which is really promising. I don't think he's going to necessarily have a massive role this year, but if you can churn out a role that's roughly 15 to 20 minutes, he might hold a bit of value in deep team formats.
Yeah, I think if he can play 20 minutes a night, he'll definitely be a, you know, fantasy relevant player, but it is very much an if he can do that. I think he's a speculative add at this point. Maybe you add him just simply for the upside, but really I'd be looking at that in probably 14, maybe even 16 team leagues and above. Obviously, he's a dynasty ad. He should have been drafted, I'd say, in dynasty. But yeah, certainly a very speculative ad for mine.
Yeah, stole the words out of my mouth, Liam. I was going to say, dynasty, you should definitely be owned. And hopefully he can continue having a spot in the rotation. But like we said, they're really, really, really loaded when it comes to guys that can play on the wing.
Yeah, plenty of guys on this Denver team who could be, you know, putting up big numbers elsewhere, but just simply won't have the usage. Let's talk about one more potential speculative ad. I'm not sure whether you'll consider him speculative or not, because he's played really well through the first couple of games. Isaiah Thomas, averaging 16.5 points and 7.5 assists, while shooting 43% from three through the first two.
Yeah, what's surprised me about IT so far is that they're actually giving him a lot of the ball and a lot of usage. I didn't think it was going to be this much, Liam. And if he does get this usage, I do think that he's going to hold a regular roster spot for fantasy owners eventually this season.
Yeah, and Washington is obviously crying out for, you know, those sort of second and third options behind Bradley Beal. We've spoken about just how shallow that team is, and they are probably going to struggle for wins this season. But look, I mean, IT looks like it could be the guy, because we just spoke about Denver before and how deep they are, especially at the guard rotation spot. As we know, IT was there last year, and no surprises that he really struggled to get going, being stuck behind Malik Beasley on the bench, and those, you know, myriad of other options such as Jamal Murray, Will Barton, Gary Harris, etc. So now he's on Washington. I think he will be fantasy relevant. He'll be a decent points league guy, I think, and probably in categories you could stream him for assists and possibly threes as well. Maybe in deeper leagues you go for points, but we know how hard it is to stream points in, you know, 12-team, 10-team leagues and below.
Yeah, if you can keep that assist count up plus six, that'd be massive for a guy that probably wasn't drafted by many owners at all, Liam. It's pretty phenomenal. I just want to go back to something you just said about Denver. I still find it pretty baffling why Denver signed him in the first place. They're so loaded for guards at the moment.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, Monte Morris, Malik Beasley just sort of came out of nowhere a little bit that season, so probably caught them off guard where they thought they could have done with some veteran guard depth. It turns out they didn't actually need it. So just, you know, so much recruiting success going on there at Denver at the moment. All right, I think that's all we've got time for today on today's episode of the GM's Office. This one was on the road, so hopefully it comes to you in crisp and clean quality. We'll catch you back in the next couple of days to go back over some more fantasy news as the season progresses. Thanks for listening.